Welcome to the Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Sportsbet. Make it look easy with Sportsbet.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
For your Saturday morning, we've got the biggest sports show in town.
Let's go, go, go!
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. I'm legendary. Joey Montagna, Jay Clark, Kath Lochnan, Lima.
What a legend.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
This is where you want to be on your Saturday morning. Triple M's Dead Set Legends on Cox Plate Day. The Melbourne Cup is fantastic, but the Cox Plate is the creme de la creme of racing, and this field is as good as any. The Aussies playing New Zealand in the Cricket World Cup this afternoon as well. There is a stack going on. I'm Jack Heverin in the chair for Kath Lochnan. The St Kilda Hall of Famer, Joey Montagna's in the house.
Good morning,
Joseph,
Jack. Yes, nice to have you back and good to be here. It is a great day, Cox Plate Day, and he's one of my favourites. I enjoy watching the races and had a big plan this week. Got a couple of mates down. Great day to go to a pub. If you don't go to the pub, watch some great racing, have a couple of beers. Early in the week, just got a call up from Fox Footy. They need me to do an AFLW game today.
Oh.
So I'll be at Moorabbin instead, doing St Kilda v Brisbane Lions AFLW. So I'm going to miss the great race.
You have it on your phone.
You'll be calling the player. Now we've got
Smith.
But
I'm not flat about it. I'm looking forward to the footy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to your call, Jay.
And that voice you can hear, of course, is Jay-Z Clark, the heir to the throne at the Herald Sun. Now, Jay, you're normally cool, calm, collected. You've got your stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. Not often. But I can see a look on your face this morning. You look like you've got a conundrum. You look like something's wrong. Is everything okay?
Well, it's disheveled to start with.
A lot of
you do look a bit of a mess.
My family's away for the weekend. So my magnificent wife's taking my kids. It's a birthday down the peninsula. So I've got a weekend and I'm really meant to be getting on top of a lot of stuff. Like, it's moving house soon. So meant to be cleaning up and getting ready. However, the Cox Plate is on. And now you're Joey.
So I was expecting you to walk in this morning with your bag of fruit on.
Really?
I would have thought Cox Plate, not far from home for you, right down your alley.
Very close. Yeah, I was there last night, can you go twice in 2 days?
Hence why you look dishevelled. Yes.
We had a golf day yesterday, which was a lot of fun up there at Northern. So, look, I really need to nail some life stuff over the next few hours. However, if I can really have a couple of hours of power, clean up, could I still make it for race 6 or 7? Maybe that's the strategy today.
Is there anything we can outsource? Like, can we put something out to the universe now? And if Jay-Z needs a hand with anything, can we see if there's any help available?
It's a great point, like a working bee.
Yeah. Today.
Well, Joey here, my famous colleague here, the 287 gamer, he once used to get his neighbour to mow his lawns. She was 80.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, mowing his lawns. And now he gets
Sue's mowing.
He gets his pregnant wife, Erin, the beautiful Erin, mows his lawn.
She says it's therapeutic for her. She likes it.
If anyone here, this studio, knows about outsourcing jobs at home, it is Joey here.
That's not
so
fair.
So just take me under your wing, Joey. Yeah. Guide
me. Is that legit? Does your beautiful pregnant wife mow the lawn?
Sometimes she does. Before I even know I get home, and it doesn't even need mowing, and she likes to mow it. If anyone's coming over, she gives it a quick little run over. So she's a country girl. So
if you've heard anything more extraordinary than that so far on your Saturday, call in.
No, I'm just joking. Of course I do.
If you can help with Jay-Z's working bee, 1-3-3-5-3.
We want to hear. Sounds like you need your mow's lawn, is what you're basically saying.
I will be whippersnippering before I go. But if I can do it quickly and then maybe get there late.
I feel like there's a way that you're going to get to the races this afternoon.
Do you know what I love on days like today? Peculiar betting strategies. Like, I've got a mate who each race backs number 12 because he loves the number 12. His footy jumper number was number 12. So he only backs number 12. My nana, for example, she would, because she was a Catholic, she used to only back Patrick Payne horses because he was a good Catholic boy. She would say like 50 cents each way sort of stuff. Have you heard of any peculiar betting strategies, colours, trainers, anything like that?
My mum,
yes,
God love her, bets on anything that's got Jack in the name.
There you go.
Any horse that's got Jack in the name.
There you go.
Some good and some that are not so good.
Yes.
No, I don't really. I try and be.
You
a
just
bit
try
more.
And pick
I
the
just
fast
try
ones.
And trust it. Yeah, I just try and trust some people that know a bit more about racing than me and follow them in. But it's going to be a fun day. Always is a good day. First race at 12:10 this afternoon, and the last race at 5:50. So it's a long day. The sprint race is out today, but. Really making the most of it.
Is this kind of fair to say that this is like, in fact, we'll ask Jason Richardson this because he joins us from Channel 7 Racing. Always good with his time. Richo, I know you're on with the boys yesterday afternoon, so thanks for buttering up again this morning. And this might be a better experience for you. Good morning.
This will be a lot better experience than dealing with those two flogs. Welcome. Good morning, one and all. Dead Set Legends. And everywhere I look here at Moonee Valley, there's Dead Set Legends. And this is the race, of course, where legends are made. So this is, in effect, a race in honour of you lot.
Why is it so special, Richard? Tell us about the magnificence of the Cox Plate. Why does it stand out amongst some of the other big races?
Because it's about the best of the best. This is like an Olympic 100-metre final. It's about who is the fastest. And for this, it's over 2,000 metres, so it's akin to the Olympic 1,500-metre final, because you need speed, you need courage, and also what you need is about 800 metres out, you need unbelievable intestinal fortitude for the animal, because the pressure will be on, because you're in this amphitheatre that is Moonee Valley. And because it's a short straight, the jockeys get going a lot earlier than they would at Flemington. They often sit up at Flemington because they think, we've got 800 metres of a huge long straight, we'll make our move in the straight. So the tempo drops out of the race. Whereas here at the Valley, the tempo is red hot because all the jocks want to get moving. And with that comes pressure, and it's the ultimate test for the thoroughbred. Over 2,000 metres, the best 2 minutes in sport, we coin it. And I reckon it's absolutely beautifully. And there'll be, that's the way it's going to be.
The question that everyone asks on Cox Plate Day is Darryl Braithwaite playing, and at what time can everyone tune in?
Well, I don't think Darryl's here. It's fair to say that Darryl's version of horses has got down to one or two words and allowing the crowd to sing.
Yeah.
So I think they realise that maybe, I don't know, Darryl might be not too keen to be involved. So I don't know who's singing it. Hopefully it's not me, because I stink. I sound like an ambulance siren. So it's going to be bloody brilliant, whichever way we go.
I'm a chance to get there and belt out a few bars. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Richo,
please don't.
Is there a fairy tale for Damien Oliver today? Dualis, it's an outside chance. I mean, if he could get up, it would be an incredible story.
Yeah, and also that horse called Jewess that he's actually riding.
What did I call it?
He went to the races last night, Richo, so he's just a bit rusty this morning, Jason.
He hasn't blown into the breathalyzer yet, Richo.
I don't think you need to blow into it, because you might blow the head off it. The Jewess with Damien, well, what about this? You know, you talk about the romance of, I mean, he rode a double last night, so he's in good form, Ollie. That's the 45 wins throughout the Cox Plate Carnival in his career. So he's been a marvel around Moonee Valley on the Cox Plate Carnival. So night one was last night with the Gold Cup, and Lloyd Williams and his team of owners had a win with Cleveland winning the Moonee Valley Gold Cup. So one for the battlers there, punters, which was great. And now we roll into the Cox Plate. Now, Ollie on Jewess, well, he won his first Cox Plate on about a 40-1 pop for Edward Cummings's grandfather. Wow. In the great Bart Cummings. So in his last ride, dear, it'd be fantastic. He draws barrier one. He's going to need to do exactly what he did on Dane Ripper years and years and years ago, and that is suck the paint, hang there, hope for luck, get a break at the top of the straight, burst up on the inside. Can he do it? No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, what is your expert opinion then, Richo, to win the Cox Plate? I know you love an international horse. You love the internationals, but where are you going for the Cox Plate? Who do you like?
And the reason I love the internationals is because they bloody win, or they go awfully close to win. I mean, hey, my passport is Australian, but my bank balance is international. So I want to make sure I'm trying to find the winner. So I think Victoria Road is the big danger to the Hong Kong champ. A Romantic Warrior, I think, peaks on the day. He's the one they all have to beat. But at $14 or $15... Victoria Road, who is a Breeders' Cup juvenile winner as a two-year-old over in America. So he's an Irish-trained horse who's won races in France, went over to America to win a Group 1, had a race in France against the Arc de Triomphe winner, and then went to Ireland to have his second run. He was unlucky there. He's travelled around the world. He's tough. He's only a three-year-old. He's running in the Cox Plate, and his name's Victoria Road. It makes perfect sense to have something on him at around $15 each way.
Richo, big day for you. I think as good as you are in the presence of the great Bruce McAvaney today on Channel 7 Racing, of course, which you can see on Channel 7 and 7+. How is the great man? Is he set and ready to go for today?
Excited, Bruce. it's fair to say that he may be over racing a touch, the great man.
He's sweating in the mounting yard, is he?
He's sweating in the mounting yard. I'm a bit concerned about he's sweating in his flanks. Mate, I think it's just the great pleasure I have in life is actually getting to work with him. I pinch myself every single day. I walk to it, get into work, and there his beautiful smiling face is. So I cherish it. Listen, he had a week off a couple of weeks ago because there was areas he needed to work on. We've worked on those. He's a young kid having a go, and I think he's got a lot of potential, Bruce.
You're sending him back to the VFL, isn't
he, Richo? He's got a good mentor in you, Richo, so he'll be okay.
Look, he's got some good role models around him, and hopefully he learns, and he might have a future in the case.
Sounds like he took the feedback, and he's come back stronger, which is fantastic. Richo, thanks for joining us this morning.
Love you all. See you soon.
Jason Richardson joining us from Channel 7. Coverage starts from midday on Channel 7 and also 7 Plus.
He's one of the great men.
He's the most popular man on Australian television, Richo. And what about our old mate, Emma Friedman? Isn't she just...
too good for us now. We try to get Emma on. Sorry, boys.
Booked out.
The old Dead Set Legends. No, no, she's too busy.
I think it was, you'll need to go through my people. Yes, it was. The response for Em. Therefore, she's not with us. We're going to talk footy on the other side of this. The Blues have picked up a famous name. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, Jay, Kath, Limo. On Melbourne's 105.1, this is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Joey, Jay, Kath, Limo. The Dead Set Legends on Melbourne's 105.1, Triple M.
There's a name that has landed at the Blues that is going to be very familiar to a lot of footy fans.
Orazio Fantasia. Orazio Fantasia.
Be at the Blues next season.
Yeah, I think this is a great pickup from Carlton, and he was sort of staring under everyone's nose. We thought he might stay at Port Adelaide. Then he went to GWS and had a sniff around there, maybe on a one-year contract extension, but he lands at Carlton yesterday. And I love this, Joey, because, you know, if he can get his body right, he's got speed, he's got stealth, he's kicked 40-odd goals for the Bombers. So if he can get out on the park, then he's a best 22 player for mine, because who's he up against? We know Jesse Motlop, Jackie Martin's had his injury issues. You know, is he better than Matt Owies? Yeah, Josh Honey? Yes, I think so. I think this is a super pickup. What's your take?
Yeah, I really like it as well. Did a little bit of work looking at some of Orazio's footy to see where he's at, and I still think he's got a lot of good footy ahead of him. Hasn't lost any of his speed, certainly hasn't lost any of his class. The issue is going to be his body, but it's a risk that's a pretty bit much of a free hit for Carlton. Like, it'd be 2-year deal on not much money.
200.
But if he does play, I think he's still got his best footy. You know, maybe not his very best, but not far off it.
He's
really
28.
Like it. Just turned 28. So yep. I think he's still got a number of years left, and he couldn't break back into the Port Adelaide side when he was fit and available because they were on that run, that 13-game winning streak. But his Sandful footy, he still averaged the most goals in the Sandful competition. And yeah, I like it as well. Good get by the Blues.
They're not completely sorted for the smalls, are they, Jay? Like you say, Jack Martin's always seems to have an injury and missed the first half of the season.
He turned a corner, I reckon, Jack Martin.
Yeah, he did. Got his calves sorted out. Motlop's coming along. And then you've got your worker bees, the Owies and Durden's
Honey,
and Fogarty as well. That did a good role. So.
And I think when you look at the Carlton's forward half, they're in the window, right? So they're rolling the dice here. I think it's terrific. But I think they'd be looking to spread the load because we know the defence can collapse on Mackay at times, Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow. So I think having a more broad
spread.
Attack
they've got heaps of options. Deconing can still play forward if they two rucks. We know Silvani's always someone that is, you know, can bob up and play a role.
Yeah. But he's different, isn't he? Because he's got that speed. It's just a bit of X factor. And I think it's not only great depth, but I think round one against Richmond, if he has a good preseason, it'll be all like if he bobs up, kicks a couple of goals in a preseason game, then he could genuinely play round one against Richmond, who I also want to ask about. Did you catch the book extract? So Trent Cotchin, written by Glenn McFarlane, great read, grab it if you haven't got it, and the former Richmond captain. But Jack Riewoldt's also put out his book. There's an extract in the Herald Sun today, and a fascinating tidbit on his experience with Gerard Murphy. He's one of those leadership gurus, formerly of leading teams, Joey, and he described basically how they did that in 2016. They sort of went through that process of putting a bloke out the front and then essentially telling him how crap he was and all the things he needed to improve and you got to get better and, you know, Jack, you're a bit selfish or you're doing your own thing. And he said that it basically they aborted it halfway through the season because it had become so detrimental and poisonous or toxic. They even got a female staffer who was helping all the kids with their sort of living arrangements. They put her and tore strips off her. It's interesting with these leadership groups or these leadership programs, the different results, because we've heard it work so well. What was your experience?
Yeah, there's no right way or one way to do these sorts of things. We had the leading teams, and for our group under Ross Lyon, we felt it worked. I mean, there's the famous story about Gary Ablett getting up the front and all his teammates told him what they were expecting of him, and he turned into the greatest player of all time. So you can have that method. It can evolve as well, and it depends on your group and what you respond to, and that's part of the challenge of any coach or a club, is working out whether it's leadership, whether it's learning, whether it's the environment, what suits and tailors the group that you've got.
What negative feedback could any of your teammates had about you? They, Rui, you know, best mate of the captain, be like, oh, Joey, you're fantastic, work great,
hire you. Collector.
Early days, I copped feedback. I remember getting drilled early days just for training, like, as a young kid. Training standards and you know, working harder and those sorts of things. And it is pretty brutal. It was, you know, the Jason Cripps and Heath Black and some Justin Peckett, those older guys.
Were giving it
to us younger guys early in our career.
Not trying hard enough.
But that's all part of the development. Learning. You don't know everything as a 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old. So you need to get the feedback. You need senior players to say, no, this is where we think you can get to and this is the expectation. And I think it's still an important part of any football.
What was the classic clip to Del Santo? Hot dog?
That was just one of Ross Lyon's little things. Del used to stick the handball out.
Yeah. Like a hot dog.
He used to hold it out like a hot dog.
The other one was the Nick Revolt one tackle for the season. Yes, that's one of the famous ones.
Yes.
It didn't read that well, did it, Jay? I read the extract this morning in the Herald Sun. Bronwyn Doig was the name of the staffer player development manager at Richmond. And the club and the leadership group basically felt, well, all the players have taken their turn, so let's put her out the front.
Yeah.
And she didn't last the session. She walked out in tears.
And left the club.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's...
No. And then Jack explains how he goes into Brendan Gale's office not long after and says, this isn't working. This has got to stop, which is fascinating, which also then leads us to Dustin Martin. I think Jack called him and said, mate, these are the reasons why you stay. Your earning capacity at Richmond compared to going to North Melbourne is far greater.
Was this 2016 when he had the offer from North Melbourne?
Yes. And I think North Melbourne, say at the time, they thought they had Dustin Martin. It was a $1.5 million a year. Has there been a better decision in football ever than Dustin Martin staying at Richmond as opposed to going to North Melbourne? Three premierships, Norm Smiths, the Brownlow medal. And Joey, you were actually...
Well, I don't want to take credit for it, but Richmond fans might own me. No,
did say to us pre-show, ask me about it.
No,
so.
At the time when he was making the decision, Dustin, I was living next door to him and we spent a bit of time together.
Confidant.
I vividly remember going for a drive with him in his car and he asked for my advice, what he thought, because he had the massive offer from North Melbourne. He was almost gone. And I basically...
He was gone.
Yeah, and I had that exact same chat about what would you... rather have? Would it be the money or would you rather win a premiership with this Richmond group you've grown up with, go on and win a Brownlow and you'll make up all that money anyway? And I remember the conversation and I'm so glad he stayed at Richmond and he is probably the greatest Tiger or one of them of all time. So that's all part of Jack's book.
So Richmond fans, if you do see Joey at the pub
say thanks.
Just a little schooner for Joey, a little pale ale he might like.
You generally find him around the sort of Half Moon area. That's generally where you can find Joey on a Saturday afternoon.
Emerald Hotel.
Jay-Z, last night we saw a very, very good Melbourne United team do a number on the Jack Jumpers, 90-82.
And you guys are doing an incredible job calling for Fox. I love your basketball commentary, your crossover. Sometimes you tell some great stories as well, Joey. I like the depth and the history that you're bringing to the background you bring to the broadcast. But so are we feeling like it's a United chip?
Yeah, well, they are, seat? Jack, you would know, but they're the best team in, aren't they? Like, that was 1-2 last night. Everyone was saying Tassie were probably one of the real championship contenders and Melbourne away from home were too good. They are the team to beat, aren't they? And no Delva Dover at the moment as well?
Yeah, they are. Like, I saw Tassie. Tassie have beaten Sydney twice already, who have won the last two, and they beat Melbourne in round two. So I was pretty confident on Tasmania going into last night, to be honest, especially at home. But this Melbourne United team is deep. And early on, it was Luke Travers, and then Joe Lualachul took over, and then in the third quarter, Ian Clark got going. They can just hurt you in so many ways. They're going to be a very hard team to stop, I reckon.
They are stacked, aren't they? In the southeast, Phoenix are doing pretty well as well. So both Melbourne sides going nicely.
It's a great day at the basketball, especially for kids too. The family stuff, they love the face paint and the excitement, the entertainment is a great day.
I took Noah last Sunday to Melbourne United, New Zealand. It is a great way to spend an afternoon with the kids. It is very entertaining.
What about the big... I get the feeling there's a big story brewing in the West, Jack, because the Wildcats have been a juggernaut of Australian basketball for 30 years, right?
One of those every year.
Yeah, they're all... guys, what's happening out there? Pressure on the coach, John, really? Bryce Cotton isn't firing. What do you see developing out there over the next few days?
I see big problems. I see big, big problems. And I know we're into Melbourne, but this is an Australian sports story right now. For everything you just said, Jay, they are the benchmark for sustained success, the Perth Wildcats. They're always in the
any
playoffs.
Any sport in Australia.
Any sport in Australia. Yep. Hands down, the Wildcats are as successful as any. Right now, they have completely lost the Wildcats fabric and everything that Perth stand for as an organisation.
Well, there's disconnect between the fan base.
It's just, the fans are rabid. Last night on social media,
they were booing during the game.
They booed during the game. Yeah. Wow. I've heard reports that they booed the coach in the post-match press conference, or a few people, and in the post-match function as well. Bryce Cotton's in career worst form, but it's not just Bryce's fault. You can't blame Bryce for all of this.
And he's been the best player in the country for years.
Yep. By far. The coach looks under pressure, and I think there's going to have to be a move made there. And this is a big decision now for the ownership group, who are inexperienced when it comes to basketball teams. Group.
Hutchie's under the pump. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that this group, who are new to this,
Hutchie,
have got a big call. They've got some big calls to make.
Yeah.
ASAP. And now Trevor Gleeson is available, previous coach.
Oh, yeah.
Legendary coach.
Yeah.
And I think he wants the job.
Well, he put pressure on he came out during the week, didn't he, and said, I'm available. The great Trevor Gleeson, the great Wildcat coach, basically came and said, I'm available. So
come
it's going to put more pressure on the ownership to make some decisions. So it's going to be fascinating. But it has been a wonderful start to the NBL season. Like these young stars that we've got in the competition are making it as good a season so far that we've had in 25 years.
They're a big story, the Perth Wildcats, as is Damian Lillard.
Yes.
NBA, you're all over the NBA.
You are our NBA man.
Started during the week. You're our NBA correspondent.
We thought about getting Mike Breen on or Reggie Miller or something. We thought, no, we'll just get Jay.
I asked for Shaq or Cut. Charles Barkley, Jay said, no, I've got this covered.
He said, give me some time.
I know the fantasy team. I've got my NBA fantasy team. I know all about it.
And Shaq could be listening, I'm sure. Good morning to you, Shaq. Hey, the Milwaukee Bucks are a huge story because, these NBA teams have been developing the super teams. They get three superstars and bring them together, and it sort of leaves the stragglers struggling a little bit. But Milwaukee already got Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, who did struggle yesterday, of course. But they brought in Dame Lillard, who was already one of the best guards in the competition, the all-star. And I think he went off for 39 points yesterday in combination with Giannis. So they look incredible. Boston Celtics, another big threat. Lakers intrigued. They won yesterday, but they've got an aging lineup with LeBron and Anthony Davis. LeBron and still in incredible form, of course. So I'm really intrigued by the NBA season. Can you see LeBron rocked up to his game? Was it yesterday or the day before? In like a $26,000 suit, like a kit, like one of the major brands. $26,000 suit.
That's one of his cheap ones.
I'm getting my stuff from Kmart. And he's coming in the Dior. Yes. So I think it's incredible. There's storylines around James Harden. If you follow the NBA, so the Philadelphia 76ers, they got the MVP, Joel Embiid. And then his co-pilot, James Harden, as we've mentioned, Joey, has essentially cracked the SADS and he wants to be traded. So he's just refusing to play at the moment. Or the organization doesn't want him to play. It is absolutely toxic in that regard. Can the club overcome that distraction? It'll be absolutely fascinating. But it's great that the basketball, the NBA, is back on, Jack.
That's why we didn't need Shaq.
That's right. Exactly. Very good, very good. And plenty of Aussies playing as well, which is good.
Josh Giddey.
And the pick number one, we've got to talk about Victor Wembanyama. He doesn't look like he's human.
No,
does he?
Like
he's
7 foot.
He's a video guy.
He's like an alien. It's like Space Jam. He's like this gangly guy that can't. It's amazing. If you don't really follow basketball, but you want to check out something special, have a look at Victor Wembanyama for the San Antonio Spurs.
A Inspector Gadget playing basketball because you can't shoot over the top of him. Yep. He's just.
He dunks it from the free throw line. Yes. He just puts his arm out and slam dunks it.
So he was absolutely extraordinary. And I tell you what, the signs are good for Ben Simmons. For Brooklyn, came back and had flirted with a triple-double. So after a couple of years of nightmare back injuries, he might be back in
form. And the signs are good for Australian basketball too. He did an interview during the week with Brad Blanks and said he's open to playing for Australia in the next major event, which is good news. And I reckon Brian Gorgian will move heaven and earth
Paris
to make
Olympics.
That happen.
Nice.
Watch this space. Cal Ferguson to join us to talk cricket next hour. Rusty will talk motorsport as well. And the all-important Cox Plate numbers from Jig Racing. But we, this afternoon, at Casey Fields, of all places, have a million-dollar game because Melbourne are playing Fremantle in the AFLW.
Round nine, I'll
be there. If Melbourne win, they should lock away top spot, which means that they lock away the McLellan Trophy, which is the men's and the women's combined, and the D's are going to pocket a cool $1 million.
So does that $1 million go to the players, or is that for the football club, or is it a combination? Do we know exactly how that works, Jay-Z? Because it's pretty, I'll tell you what, there might be some Melbourne men's players watching the game this afternoon and just
cheering,
cheering home for the, yes, for the girls to get the win.
I think the $1 million, I think the players get half. So the men and women's players get half. They get 500. So they're going to split 500. I think the other 500 goes to the club and their facilities and programs and staff, etc. So the players, men's and women's players, go halves in the 500. So I think it's 250 each for the men's and the women's. And that's right, isn't it, Joey? That should be split equally amongst the men's and women's. So it's essentially just like a prize for winning the premiership, essentially. So a little incentive, a little bonus.
Absolutely.
250 for the men.
It's a big footy trip. 250K for the footy trip.
For the women.
Do you think that's a good idea based on recent things?
Maybe the D's can just pull back a touch. If you do see them out partying over the next month, give us a call. 1-2-3-3-3.
Did you do some numbers, Jack?
Well, I sort of worked out roughly. If we say there's like 80 players on the men's and women's list combined.
Yep.
It's 6,400 each.
Yeah, that's going to get you to Phuket.
No, or would it be double that?
500. Yeah. So 500 goes to the club. Yep. 500 goes to the players. So 500 divided by about 80 odd.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a calculator there, Joey.
So, I thought it was more. This is not an abacus. It sounded like it was going to be a lot more. It's not that much.
Six grand
that's
each.
That's nice.
So that'll be good. So who wins that?
Melbourne win. Melbourne are a very good team. So they win today, and there's a round to go after that. They did lose to Adelaide a couple of weeks ago. So it's really down, I think, to Melbourne, Adelaide, and Brisbane. They're the best three teams.
Kangaroos, you're not rating in
that
category.
They're a rung below. Yeah.
Which history shows, Kangaroos, the AFLW team, I saw a stat during the week. They've like won 34 out of 37 games against every other team, and they've won like 3 of 15 against those other three. So they're sort of caught in the middle there, aren't they? I'm at Moorabbin as well, St Kilda. Get down to Moorabbin. It's actually, they do it really well at St Kilda. They have a little Ferris wheel for the kids. They do the face painting, all those sorts of things. The Saints are taking on the Brisbane Lions, but the Brisbane Lions are one of the big three. So might be tough for Nicky Dell and his girls today.
Have a great call, boys. I'll be at the Cox Plate. Chloe Malloy is my favourite AFLW player. Is she the best in the comp? She's former Collingwood, now Sydney. She's just I love watching her. She's a superstar.
She had 17 score involvements, I think.
She took the P155 last Saturday, made it look easy. Yeah. She was going to come on this morning, actually, but she had training. So she was keen to have a chat, but couldn't make it work.
Dedicated athlete. Who's she up against?
Jasmine Garner.
No, Jazzy Garner from North Melbourne's probably the best player in the comp. Okay. And I love Maddie Prisparkis, but it's going well. Mon Conti. There's plenty going on there. So, no, there's plenty of AFLW action as well. And that is a good one for the kids. So if you are looking for something to do this weekend, go check it out.
Daisy Pierce would be flat. She's just retired now. She's going to miss out an extra six.
Are you still thinking about that?
That's one cashy for Daisy. She'll be fine.
True.
Hey, just a little bit of soccer news. The Matildas juggernaut, they continue to roll on. Olympic qualifiers last night, they beat Iran 2-0. Ali Carpenter and Sam Kerr, the goal scorers. They play the Philippines at Optus Stadium tomorrow and then play Chinese Taipei on Wednesday. And just quickly, Jay-Z, I know you've been all over this. Ange Postecoglou's Tottenham Hotspur, they won again overnight, beat Crystal Palace 2-1. They are now 5 points clear on top of the Premier League table, undefeated after 10 games.
Huge.
Ange Postecoglou, the biggest story in Australia, I think, at the moment.
And one of the biggest in world sport. And happy birthday to you, Joey. You turned 40 this week, the big 4-0. Cool. So if you see Joey
Thursday,
wish him happy birthday.
Turned 40 on Thursday.
What are you going to do?
Just having a little do Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be coming in fresh next Saturday.
It's not too late to call in sick.
I'll be looking like Jay-Z next next time.
Now, Jay, I just want to throw a conundrum at you very quickly. Mm-hmm. Had a wonderful dinner with my three best mates on Wednesday at a very nice place. He's a member at Peninsula Kingswood down my way, so ate dinner there.
Yep.
And he's got an account. So he said, look, just put it all in the account. We'll sort it out later.
Which restaurant?
Peninsula Kingswood, the golf club. He said, I'll send you through my details and we can split it and we'll all work it out. And we drank nice wine and a couple of beers, nothing over the top.
Yep.
That was Wednesday.
Yes.
It's now Saturday.
Yes.
And he hasn't sent me through his details. Mm. Do I follow this up or leave it?
I think you have to. I think you need to do it within the first. Once it gets beyond a week, it's tricky territory. I think you need to follow. What are your bank details, mate? Oh, I'll transfer you the 300. It can be a bit awkward at times. But
you follow up once because that's the right thing to do. Yeah, fingers crossed he doesn't reply again. And then you go, I did the right thing. I politely asked. And if he's decided that he's happy just to let it sit on his account, you say, well, you're a good man.
Well, this is my follow-up now because I know I'll be listening. So, Finna, send me your details.
Otherwise you don't,
you miss out.
It is annoying if you've got a follow-up in here.
Very, very good. Coming up next hour, we talk cricket. Cal Ferguson will join us. The Aussies in action at the World Cup this afternoon against New Zealand. Rusty will talk motorsport. And we'll talk the Western Bulldogs as well. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, Jay, Kath, Limo. On Melbourne's 105.1, this is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. For your Saturday morning, we've got the biggest sports show in town.
And it's go, go, go!
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Great to be with you. Coming up this hour, Cal Ferguson from Triple M Cricket will join us because all of a sudden the Aussies are back in the hunt at the Cricket World Cup. And well, look, Jay's saying that he's back on the David Warner train as well when you clearly jumped off a couple of weeks ago, Jay-Z. We'll talk motorsport with Greg Rust as well. A bit of footy also. And we'll get our all-important tips for Cox Plate Day. The big question, though, I think after hour one, Joey, is will Jay-Z give in and go to the races this afternoon?
Well, I know he told us he's busy today, but he's a man that loves going to the races. He loves getting his dancing shoes on, Jack, and this is the time of year when he really shines and he gets out. One year he went with the no socks. We got into him about the no socks under the dress shoes one year. He's fixed that up. He's wearing the socks. I think you will go. I reckon you will head out to the races just for a little look around, a little shuffle when the music comes on.
I think we've been doing this for about 6 years now, Joey. You might know me too well. You've read the play perfectly. No, I've got so much to do at home. I did go to the track last night. Moonee Valley, it comes alive. We had the school dads gig, so nice for a bunch of 40-year-old dads to really get round each other at the Valley. But it's a different vibe to Flemington, isn't it? Flemington's very sort of, how are we going to say
it? Look at me.
Where the Valley last night, I went in my nice shorts. You know, a sort of a long sleeve shirt. So it wasn't too fancy. I didn't wear my jacket. I was in the members area in a nice pair of shorts, and that was good. Will I go today? I got a lot to do, Jack. It's going to be 3 hours of power if I can just maybe like Chautauqua and get there for the main race. There's some big races later. Of course, Cox Plate Day. Joe, you're better at this. It's a special.
It's a
race.
Sort of purist day, as you said. It's all about the racing, the quality horses and those. And the last race is at 5:50. It's a late end of the day, so I reckon you will have time. It's not going to wrap up early.
There's a chance.
Yeah, there is a chance.
Didn't his just body language change all of a sudden? Hang on.
I reckon he saw his brain ticking over. He thought, I can get this done.
I can get there by four and catch the last three.
He's sculling his Red Bull, so he's got the energy to get home, go bang, get all his work done, and then get the dress shoes on.
You know what fashion trend I haven't quite got my head around yet, though?
What's that, Jason?
The no belt look. I'm seeing a lot of guys with no belts, the high pants and the no belt. Now, maybe it's because I've got maybe a little bit too much around my waistline that I need a belt. Joey, are you running with the no belt stuff?
No, I'm definitely belt man as well. And just try and get the shirt out a little bit so it doesn't sort of just take. But that is the look, for
Isn't
some
it?
Of the youngsters.
I just haven't quite got there yet, Jack.
I don't think it's aimed at our demographic either, to be honest.
Don't try it, Jay. I know you like trying the fashion things. Don't try it.
I think it's at a younger demographic than ours. Go to the Herald Sun today, Jay-Z, where you are, of course, the heir to the throne. Mark Robinson has written an interesting article posing some questions about Bailey Smith, but posing a lot of questions about the Western Bulldogs and where they're at heading into next year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? They've underachieved, I think, over the past two seasons. Missed the finals last year, bombed out in the first round, lost to Fremantle over there in the year before, started strong. When you look at the spine, and so much talk about the list, Joey, and we've had this chat, you know, Chamara Ugle-Hagen, Norton, Waitman, we love. They've got Marcus Bontempelli, who's arguably the best player in the competition. Liber underrated. You know, aside from the defence, and we know they tried to trick up the defensive system last year, I think it's a top four list. You know, I don't get it. There must be, and we did speak to someone from the Bulldogs late last season, said, how's it been going at the Kennel? They said it's been tense. It's been an edgy environment at the Western Bulldogs. What's your read on it? Do you think we overrate the list because of the top-end talent? Because we have seen a lot of clubs succeed with depth and role players in their list.
Yeah, a little bit, because I think their fringes and their depth is quite tested. And I think sometimes you see some of the players get picked for Western Bulldogs and you're quite surprised, you know, that they're maybe just borderline AFL standard. So there is a little bit of that. I think for me, the Western Bulldogs have always been an inconsistent side. Even when they're played in grand finals and won flags, they did it off the back of getting on a hot run. They are a team, and I reckon I've said it for years on this show, Jay-Z, they're hard to catch. Just when you think they're gone, they might win five on the trot. Then when it looks like they're flying, they'll drop a couple. It's part of their makeup for me, particularly under Luke Beveridge. Now, I can't put a finger on what it is with the inconsistency, but it has to be a bit of, you know, cultural. Is it a bit of game plan? Is it just the personnel that they've had and they've moved on? It's always been an issue for the Western Bulldogs. They're not a team, even though they are, they have got talent and they can play some as good a footy as anyone, it's always been a bit of a knock on them.
Do you remember they started the season with four key forwards? I personally feel like teams have gone away from the big setups and have gone more mobile and dynamic. We saw that with Melbourne. We've seen that with Collingwood. Other than Cox, you know, that's more work rate with McStay and all these sorts of other
guys. They're not shy of trying things, are they, the Western Bulldogs? No. Put it that way. They maybe they try too many things.
Is that a problem?
I think it probably is. There's a little bit of, when you think about consistency, even consistency of roles and positions, like Caleb Daniel, is he a halfback? Is he half forward? Is he a midfielder?
Yeah.
Jack McRae, is he better inside, outside? Bailey Smith, where's his best
Adam
role?
Treloar.
Adam, you know, like we talk a lot about these players that get moved around, and maybe that's all part of why they just haven't been as consistent as we would think they should be.
Bailey Smith is going to be probably the most followed footballer, I think, of the year. It's obvious that there are some issues there, and he may or he will seriously consider leaving. Every club in the competition will have a crack at Bailey Smith because we know his upside and his ceiling and his talent. That final series a couple of years ago, when he kicked 12 goals in four games, he looked like one of the best players in the competition. Tell us, Joey. How good is Bailey Smith? Do we overrate him? And do you think he can be a million-dollar player for another club next season? Should they buy into the – because it's a bit of a hype train.
It is a bit of a hype train. I'm not – I mean, he's a very good footballer, but I'm not sure what he actually is. Like, is he a pure midfielder? He's not really a contested ball winner. Is he a finisher, isn't he? Is he a wingman? You know, is he an elite runner?
Do you rate his kicking?
No, he's only, for an outside player, he's only an average kick. He's not an elite kick. He's not an elite contested ball winner to be, I think, one of the great midfielders. So there's still a fair bit of work to go, but he's still only quite young.
Yep.
You know, whatever, he's 22 years of age. He's got plenty of upside. He will be in demand because of his running capability, his upside. And he does bring in members and supporters, and he does have that ambassadorial factor to him, which you can't knock. I hate that he's getting knocked for being a guy that people want to use for their brands and all those things. I mean, he does generate a lot of interest from a younger audience.
I love the rig.
And it's important.
Are you jealous?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So there will be a lot of eyes on Bailey Smith. Unfortunately, again, there'll be a lot of conversation, but I just hope for him he plays some of his best football and lets his footy do the talking.
Well, Joey, if he is to play his best footy, it's not a half forward. I think we learnt that.
Joey disagrees with this. He is a half forward.
I think his running power is suited to a half forward role where you get up the ground and then you run and sprint back. And I think it's a really important role in AFL footy. Now, he wants to play midfield.
So it's an ego
thing.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to play in the midfield. I'm not sure what his best role is yet. That's why I'm interested to see.
It's like when I used to play junior cricket and the coach used to put me number six, number seven, number eight. Put me up the order, give me a chance at number four.
Come in at four and then I'll be first change bowler. That's what everyone wants.
And I make seven, then I'm back down to seven or eight next week. What about Sam Darcy, Joey? I think I'm so bullish. I'm buying all the stock I can get.
What position
on Sam Darcy? That's the thing, right? So he can play. I asked a recruiter this one day. I said, what do you think, Sam Darcy? Said earlier in his career,
centre-half back. Like it.
And then will eventually blossom into one of the best, if not the best, centre-half forward in the game. Now, when you look at their structure, right? So,
do they need him forward if they've got Norton and they re-sign Jamari Ewell-Hagan for the next 10 years?
And Lobb, key forward. Yep. So three-prong attack. They need him down back, which is the area to support him. So from a needs base, he's got to play down back. But I absolutely love this guy. I remember taking pick two. I think he can be one of the best tools in the competition, Joey.
Well, there's something for them.
They've got plenty to work with. Yeah, it's going to be a big year, though. A lot of watch on the coach and on this playing group.
So what do you think happens if they start the season sort of 3-3, you know, if they're slow out of the blocks, if the jury's out mid-year? What do you think happens?
It's too hard to predict. Because
he's contracted Beveridge until the end of 2025.
Yeah.
So, but not unlike Justin Longmire, I think. I mean, Fremantle have got a decision to make on him potentially over summer. What do they do? Do they re-sign him over summer or do they let some of this season play out and make a decision? I think the situation at the Dockers is interesting on that front
too. It's going to be a very interesting watch, the Western Bulldogs. And as you say, it's been tense all year and it looks like it's going to be tense heading into next year as well.
Rusty's Motorsport Update. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Rusty, great to have you with us. Supercars on the Gold Coast this weekend. Fords have been given a bit of a leg up. What's going to make them more competitive?
Hopefully it will. Basically, on the form we saw in practice, which was weather affected, right? A little bit of rain about and so on. Five Mustangs in the top 10 in session one, four in session two, which was topped by Shane Van Gisbergen. So a lot of the teams are talking about the aerodynamic change that they hoped to get for Bathurst. They ultimately got it rubber stamped for the Gold Coast. So it should give them a level of improvement relative to the Camaro. But everyone's saying don't necessarily expect it to, you know, fully swing the pendulum the other way on the Gold Coast, just given the nature of the track. So, but it's a start and it's a work in progress and they're going to do more stuff over summer.
Hey, Rusty, I heard James Courtney, who I think was a supercar champion back in like 2010, has got some good news. He's picked up a ride for next season.
And we weren't certain that he was going to get one either. So in the kind of game of musical chairs that happens with the driver market at about sort of this time every year, his name had come up in connection with a couple of rides. One of them didn't materialise. Where he is at the moment, the Tickford team, they're downsizing from four cars to two. But he's basically resurfaced, if you like, in connection with a Melbourne-based squad called the Blanchard Racing Team, who are going to go to two cars next year. So he's a bit of a character. He won the title for Dick Johnson Racing, as you say, in 2010. Showed some good stuff on the television coverage of Bathurst, I thought. So nice to see him back in a full-time ride when we didn't necessarily know if he'd get one.
And Rusty, the F1 is in Mexico, so a big race for Sergio Perez. But his Red Bull teammate, Max Verstappen, he's got some extra security there. He is just a blockbuster star on the circuit. Of course, the champ. What about the Aussies? How did they go in practice?
How did I know you were going to ask this question? Love it. Okay, so Oscar Piastri, sixth fastest in that first session of practice. Dan Ricciardo in the top eight, which was good. And you talk about Verstappen getting that extra security. That's not actually his doing. The team have kind of done that. There's a bit of booing around in Texas. A lot of support for Sergio this weekend, as you rightly say. How about, I mean, the fact that he's got 15 wins this season. He's just in rarefied air at the moment.
And two big guns were disqualified in Texas also, including Lewis Hamilton, who reckons the regulators should have looked over all cars and not just spot-checked a few. What's the story there?
Well, that's what they do at the moment. They just sort of pick a couple and obviously it was at the pointy end of things. So both Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc were disqualified from that result. And that was Lewis's best performance of the year so far. They've made some changes to that car. So it's absolutely going in the right direction. We don't have enough time on the radio show this morning to get into the nitty-gritty of the details, but they have a plank underneath the car. It has tolerances. It can't wear down beyond a certain point because if it does do that, it suggests that the car is hugging the road lower, therefore more aerodynamically efficient and perhaps better than rivals. So Lewis was pinged, so was Charles Leclerc. We've got to remember, bumpy track. They also did a sprint race there, so there are factors involved, but there is no wiggle room. There is no leeway. And Lewis reckons he's heard that a few other cars were definitely not in a position where they would pass that regulation check had they been looked at. So anyway, that's Lewis's view.
Rusty, you are a star as always. Thanks for joining us.
See you, gang. Thank you.
Rusty's Motorsport Update. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
As we're getting closer and closer to the Cox Plate, and more importantly, closer and closer to Jay-Z deciding whether he's going to the races or not, we've got all of the numbers that matter. Jig Racing's going to give us the numbers that you need on the other side of this. It's Triple M's Dead Set Legend.
Joey, Jay, Kath, Limo. On Melbourne's 105.1, this is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Joey, Jay, Kath, Limo. The Dead Set Legends on Melbourne's 105.1, Triple M.
Coming down the straight on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
They're at the gate.
Flash, a horse with no name up on heels.
And golden monkeys sniffing down
third
their neck.
For life, flying down the
My wife
side.
Knows everything broke well.
It's Joey's Tips.
Yes, we do. We've been following Jig Racing. Check it out, jigracing.com. He is flying, particularly in Singapore. He has 100% strike rate with us on Dead Set Legends. He tipped us an $8 winner last week. He had a tip at Singapore today, War Room, but it's been scratched, unfortunately. So he's got his two best bets for the day in Melbourne that we want to follow with Jig Racing. The first, and I like it when we get one in the first race, Jack, because we can just build a little kitty to play with for the day. So in race one, he likes Fasuto, number four. He thinks that that is a great bet at about $5. Only a small field, so probably only first and second dividend, maybe just back at each way. Should run top two. And his best for the day is in race six. It's number eight, Skybird. Jig Racing has tipped it previously. It's two from two. This looks like it is going to work its well. It's work itself through the grades. Might even be looking to go to a Guineas. He thinks that will win as the best bet. Race six, number eight. And then in the Cox Plate, he said the main chance is Gold Trip, Militarized with No Weight, and of course the Hong Kong champ, Romantic Warrior, are the three you need to be looking at. So thank you to Jig Racing.
Where are we going with the Cox Plate? We've had Richo on. We've got Jig's numbers.
Oh, I'm going to probably just have the quaddy. I'm going to have to put six or seven
field
in the... Yeah, and just try and see if I can sit back and hopefully jag the quaddy today.
At the track last night, I was speaking to my racing spies, and they were going mad for Romantic Warrior.
That seems to be the talk. Yes. Everyone thinks it's ready to go.
So I feel like that with a little saver on Ollie's horse, Jewess... I think that will be my strategy with a bit of jig action in Singapore.
I like the stories. I'm just, there's something here about the blood, I reckon. Alligator Blood, Gay Waterhouse, it's the only major, major group one that she hasn't won.
Yep.
I think that'd be awesome.
And what about Brightside, Joey? Is this the fifth start of its prep? It's trying to extract. I think it's heading to Hong Kong in December.
Yeah,
but
I'm happy to lay Alligator. I'm happy to lay Mr. Brightside. I reckon its best is over the 1600. I'm not sure about a hard run 2000, whether it's got that brilliance about it. I think some of these international horses might just be a bit better. And some of the ones really down in the weights with that low weight can always do really well in a Cox Plate.
Just about to say, Militarized, 49.5 kilos. Yeah. Just for a little bit of extra value might be worth a look as well.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
All of a sudden, the Australia's World Cup campaign looks back on track in a very, very big way. Cal Ferguson joins us from Triple M Cricket, always a great friend of the show. Morning, Ferg.
Thanks for having me, guys. And is it too soon to start saying we're purring?
Well, I don't know, but it feels like a week ago we sat here and we'd almost given up on the tournament. Now we're back in the hunt.
Yeah, look, it's been a good turnaround. And I think I said it on this show a few weeks ago. It's not unlike an Australian team to have a little blip on the radar early in one of these World Cups just to get the wind up us and make us a bit nervous. But, they've turned it around beautifully. And I've probably got to say that it's really been Adam Zampa that's really sparked us into life, I reckon. And Davey Warner and Mitch Marsh, we know they're playing beautifully, but we know how important it is to have your frontline spinner playing so well. And with this Australian side, the way it's set up, and there's been a lot of talk around the lack of a finger spinner and in support of that wrist spinner, but the way he's bounced back along with the two guys at the top of the order has just been something spectacular. And gee, didn't the Big Show put one on the other night? My goodness.
Oh, and what about Dave Warner? Back-to-back centuries. I never doubted him, for the record, Cal. Never doubted him at all. Strongly hits my wagon. I stayed on even when things got tough. But you mentioned the Big Show, Glenn Maxwell. I think he hates the nickname, but he was the Big Show the other night. So a ton against Netherlands of 40 balls. How did you rate that century? I mean, that is all-time stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And particularly on the back of what had happened a few nights earlier where he got out first ball. Yeah. And, you know, it was interesting to listen to him in the media post that innings. And he talked about how, you know, his arousal levels going out there to bat were probably a bit in excess of what he needed it to be, which is a tough balance for a guy like that to get right. That role is so difficult. And, you know, to have the confidence to walk out there. Yes, he did pat the first one back and just get his eyes set. But to walk out there and play that extravagantly, knowing what has been said about him in the media at times, it just shows how strong a character he is. And he is so important to our chances of winning this tournament because he can do that against anyone. He's proven that. It's not just the lower-ranked teams that he's done it against over the years. He's played some extraordinary innings against the very best. So to see him get back into form, they've got some really important players in great touch at the moment, going into some really big games, none bigger than New Zealand tonight.
We are chatting to Cal Ferguson. Cal, we are playing New Zealand tonight, but the big story is that Travis Head looks like will come straight back into the lineup. I reckon you flagged it with us last week. The talking point is who's going to make way? Steve Smith's made some runs. Is it Marnus Labuschagne? What do you think it looks like?
Yeah, look, it's a really tricky one. And at the moment, I think it'll be Marnus that gives way. And just for, I think the team will be happy with the balance that they've got with the bowling group, and I think it'll be Marnus that goes. He's a bit stiff because he's played quite well in some important moments for us over the last few months. I think Mitchell slide to three, Steve Smith will drop to four, and I think that's how we'll line up. And it's a strong Australian lineup, and it's a fantastic result for Australia to get Travis Head back to the top with plenty of minor round games to go. I'm going to say it will be in the semi-finals, but it's great to get Travis in there this early in the tournament, because it looked like he may miss the entire tournament for a little bit, and then it sort of dragged back to the last few games of the minor round. This is a good chunk of cricket he'll get in before the start of the finals.
It's 4 o'clock this afternoon. Australia play New Zealand at Dharamsala. Look down to the very bottom end of the table, Ferg. England are going well.
Yeah, it's been good, hasn't it? they look in good touch, which is even better. So look, it was, I'm an Adil Rashid fan, and I played with him at the Redbacks a long, long time ago, but, to see him get run out that way, I reckon Georgie Parker on Twitter's been baiting Piers Morgan for months, for years, and she got him last night. It was fantastic. And, he's angry. He's looking for retribution, and he's not going to find any solace, I don't think. That's ugly for England, isn't it? Mm. They've come out punching recently, and to see another one wandering out of their crease couldn't have happened any better for mine.
It seems like baiting Piers Morgan's becoming a thing. Stevie J's been doing it as well. Stevie J. He's only done five.
Twitter, don't worry about that.
Yeah, he goes, I've only tweeted five times this year, and three times have been directly to Piers Morgan.
Oh, what a ripper.
Hey, Ferg, thanks for joining us. Always great to chat.
Yeah, good on you guys.
Callum Ferguson from Triple M Cricket joining us here on Dead Set Legends.
The danger with this tournament, though, the World Cup, there are going to be some dead rubbers now as the tournament goes. Because you play everyone once, there is going to be some disinteresting games. But we're all behind the Aussies. But it's going to be interesting to see the interest levels. Because everyone does play everyone. It's an extended tournament.
It's a very, very long, long tournament, this format. 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Aussies take on New Zealand.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell. I'm going to go first. Give me a spell. I'm having a give me a spell to these protesters. The protesting against the horse racing. They've killed the Melbourne Cup. Seriously, horse racing has been going
away now.
Hang on, we're all getting excited. Oh, we're talking about horse racing all day. Horse racing's been going on since
abort,
before.
Joey, abort.
It's not too late to bail out, Joey.
For the horse racing protesters.
Keep going.
Horse racing has been going on for how long, Jay-Z? Since probably since the Roman Empire.
Yes.
And we horse race 365 days of the year. Come on. Like, seriously. Anyway.
And the switchboard is lit up. No, good one, Joe.
The Melbourne Cup is one of the great traditions, not just for the nation. It's the race that stops the nation. It unites everyone. And
what else would we do on Saturdays in spring?
Anyway, that's my little
thing. Go home and clean up the house like I'm
going to. You're going to pretend to. Jay-Z?
Mike, give me a spell. Price of golf balls these days. Now, are these new ones gold plated or something? Is there a gold nugget in the middle of golf balls these days? I played golf yesterday and just observed the prices in the pro shop, etc. Like $10 a ball. Now, give me a spell. I used to, the old top flights, hard as a rock. That's still sort of tend to stay in the middle mostly. But these new supersonic boom golf balls with the gold nugget in the middle, which are very expensive. Give me a spell.
Oh, you're that bloke that'll go searching through the bushes to find two or three balls and go, yes, I've just found three balls. Yes, that's you.
That's because I hit them in the bushes. That's where I spend my time.
Have you contemplated just putting it on the fairway, Jay? You don't lose them if they're in the middle of the cut stuff.
Right. I'm not a good golfer.
Okay. Well, in that case, it's going to be a very expensive game for you. The AFL, I know that it's just about off-season time for them, the back end of the AFLW season. Last week, I called the Western Bulldogs Sydney game at Witten Oval after we finished up here. Brittany Gutnick laid this big, strong, sort of bone-jarring tackle on Paige Shepherd, and the AFL did everything they could to suspend her for no other reason than it just looked tough.
That it was too hard of a tackle.
Give me a spell. Not for a second, if that happened in a men's game, would they even contemplate, but because of the way it looked and the optics, they tried to suspend her. It was ludicrous.
Is Michael Christian, does he do the MRO for the AFLW? Do we know that? Not sure.
That's a good question.
No, it was a good one. I agree with you. That was a terrific tackle. I'm not even sure why it was looked at.
Your Dead Set Legend. Triple M's Dead Set Legend of the Week. 4 and 20. We've been there for it all. Australia's original fan food.
Mate, you are a legend.
Hey, we mentioned him off the top when we had Jason Richardson in the first hour. By the way, how good is Jason Richardson? He is one of the best in the business. But my dead set legend of the week is going to be Damien Oliver, the GOAT of horse racing, the wonderful jockey who's doing his last Cox Plate today, his last Spring Carnival. He's going to go down as the greatest jockey in Australia. He's on Duas that we spoke about. Richo doesn't think it can win, but we're going to be giving it to Duas.
Richo pulled you. Day up on that earlier.
Yeah, he did. Enjoy. Anyway, good luck to Damien Oliver in his final Cox Plate and throughout the Spring Carnival. If you do want an omen bet, just back Ollie. He will cause an upset and get one more Group 1 win, I reckon, this Spring Carnival.
And that's going to see us out here on Dead Set Legends. If you're wondering whether Jay's going to get to the races today, the answer is yes.
Yes. I'll see you there.
You're going to be there. Hello, Joey, have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy Cox Plate Day. It's been Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
That's it for this week's edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Brought to you by Sportsbet. Make it look easy with Sportsbet.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
These legends will be back next week.
It's like Adele Santo Montana once, so back in the day.